Shalom lachem, toda she'atem.
Hello, thank you for being with us here on A New Life, the series of educational discussions with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, Tal Mandelman. Hello. And our topic today is us, ourselves. There's no closer topic to us, more beloved parts that helps us to take our life to a good and better place. So this series, our topic, so it's me and the society is the area we're talking about, and this is something that some are more pleasant and some are less pleasant, and this is fear, anxiety, lack of self-confidence, and all kinds of things that we would love to copy and help and bring it to new life, and we would like to feel them on ourselves and to those that surround us in order to do this. This is what we're trying to learn here, and today our focus is in the topic of me and my ego. And we would like to take these two parts and to truly see how this is going to make us have a better life. Tal, why don't you open? So in continuance with our discussions on feeling comfortable in the society, each would like to realize himself, and we know that in society there are times when we're in less comfortable situations, and usually we're so busy in creating a certain image, a certain impression that will be good, and hence we invest a lot of energy in this, and it really stresses us. And here we're trying to conglomerate the right approach in society in order to truly come to some state that of harmony with our environment and with ourselves. Now, all that I've learned in the past, I learned that I need to accept myself and to love myself and to invest in myself more in order to for me to go out to the society and succeed. In the last few discussions, we understood that there's a different approach, and maybe it could be very interesting and beneficial to us, and we would like to get to know it. And this way we would like to divide ourselves into these two parts. One thing that's called the ego, and one that is my true self. But we don't always know who that is or identify who that is. So that's what we'd like to know. First of all, to get to know these two parts, my ego and myself. So, Rav Lightman, who is my ego and how do I deal with it or identify it? The problem is to even identify the ego. The ego is actually depending on what level we're talking about. It's self-love, very simply. For without self-love, nothing exists. Every particle, part, body, lump, mass, creation, thing, from still, vegetative, animate, and people, thinks about self-comfort. How comfortable it is for you. As much as he more protects himself in the current state, in the inner programs from every single part that he learns from the past, maybe absorbs from the past, and makes truly a whole archive of impressions in order to be secure and confident for the present and good for the future. Meaning our ego, our inclination for it to be good for me in all different meanings actually builds and develops each and every creation, from the smallest particle that starts to connect with others to multiply and so on, and until the biggest masses, the big apes, big bodies, and it grows like that from still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. And this is how the ego grows, and therefore we differentiate 4 degrees, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, and accordingly we identify these parts in nature, environmentally. And these parts, we differentiate already the degree of ego in them, addition of force, mind, memory, ability according to, well, here we need to learn that what is the measure of ego in each and every one. There are those that are more aggressive. Are they more egoistic? Not necessarily. A lion is not more egotistical than a frog. But rather, these are different types. In ego, there are also not just levels, but also all kinds of forms of external, different external forms. And just as it is in people, there are people that are very aggressive and like this, and actually they can be very soft, and people that are kind of quiet and seemingly pleasant are much more cunning and egotistical. It could be either way in that. And the ego, what else can we say? We can say everything about it. This is, if we're talking about the ego that's in the humankind, it's the most special ego compared to a still vegetative inanimate. It's something completely different, because ego is what develops us. There's an ego in us in which we go and use others, which is outside a human body, in a very specific manner. Meaning, if in still vegetative inanimate use the environment from their inner program, how to use the environment, and in such a way the inanimate or still draw or attract each other or repel each other, or plants that either take oxygen or carbon dioxide or water and so on, and nourishment, and also expel outwards different gases and chemicals. Meaning there's an interaction of connections with the environment, which is generally passive. But you know, one wants the sun more, or towards the oxygen, or towards a lit place, you know. And with the animals, we already see that it starts to move. It starts to also their multiplication, how they procreate, and how they join into a flock or herd. We see this also in plants, that they're also connected as a community, but it's usually about according to their root system. So let's say there's a forest, and there's a between all the difference, whether the big trees, the small bushes, the small mushrooms, the small little flowers, everything is connected somehow that makes them one mechanism. And scientists find this too. And there's truly between the connection and the communication that occurs between them. It's a whole world on its own. And in animal, it's even more. But nevertheless, in each of them, still vegetative and animate, within them there is a certain program, each of its own. And these programs are also connected in the world of still vegetative and animate, which is called the nature. All in all, still vegetative and animate together are called nature. And nature is characterized by everything existing according to instincts, meaning there's no free will. We can in advance know what's going on. We would know how a lion would behave, and how a frog, and how a tree, and so on. If we know the rules in nature very clearly, this is something we can know. If we don't do it today, tomorrow we will know it. And a person is out of the ordinary here. Because what happens? It comes from the ape. It developed. Actually, according to his structure, he belongs to the degree of animals. We see this according to research. There's nothing different in a human being than there is in an animal. But rather, there is in human beings something special, and it is his special ego that wants to exploit the others, what's outside of him, and constantly through that to progress and advance and he learns what the others have and also wants it, meaning he can buy more ego, the will to receive, the will to enjoy. He sees that someone has something, he wants it too. And we see this even in the youngest of children. He has in his hand some toy of his own. He sees that someone else has something else he wants. Usually animals don't have such a thing. Maybe apes have this a little bit, and also more as a game. And it's because it's in their nature already in a constant program. Whereas in us, it's as much as we develop more and more sources of pleasure and enjoyment, and each learns from others in this way, and this is how we develop. No animal develops from generation to generation. Human beings do. We have some bull and donkey. Their offspring are also going to be bulls and donkeys, just like they are, and they won't want something else. They want grass and wheat and oats and water. Well, their offspring will want the same thing. It's not like all of a sudden their offspring will want something other than their parents and opposite their parents and be in contradiction to their parents, and they won't understand each other to that point, and so on and so forth. Whereas in human beings it is. Therefore, in humans, the ego is developing, and it's developing in such a way that it's resisting the previous generation. Therefore, it does revolutions and is constantly this whole problem between parents and children, and they don't understand them, and so on. And throughout life, it just, this gap just gets bigger and more emphasized, and even more in the ego. Well, in the ego, in a human being, there are many discernments, but the truly special discernment for a human being in the ego is that he enjoys humiliating the other. That I, in my ego, need to feel myself as high, good, successful, and then it works out that I measure this compared to my environment, and as much as the environment is lesser than me, that's how I feel good. And then either I rise and feel better, or that at least if that I'm not so rising so much and feeling so good, but at least I see that the society around me is in a worse state. So already it makes me feel good, better. So a person has a desire to harm the environment in order to feel himself in a higher level, a more exalted state. Let's say, now I'll give a certain situation in order to understand how this ego, in order to identify inside of me. Let's say I go into a certain room and I meet some acquaintance or a few people there. What is my ego telling me I need to do to exploit this person, and I need to impress these people or humiliate these people? Is there a certain mechanism that's telling me that I need to exploit the society? When I enter the society, I see how much this society is harming to me or not. Because that's, first of all, the animalistic instinct, the corporeal instinct from where we have come from, whether they're can harm me or not. And therefore, I kind of put myself into a defense mechanism. The moment I built the defense, I can see what I can profit from them, what I can benefit from them. Later, even how can I control them? And it's like that, meaning my ego, for the time being, is closed, and slowly, slowly it opens itself in all sorts of degrees of pleasure and enjoyment from the environment, as much as I'm capable of exploiting them. Why actually does the ego cause so much lack of confidence? All these phenomena we talk about, lack of confidence, social pressure, social anxiety, does it stem from the ego? If I were ridden from my ego, on one hand, I would live in a world that is all good. I wouldn't have any pressures. I wouldn't have any stimuluses. I wouldn't be in any competition, whether for hatred or lust or are drawing to myself love and encouragement and anything. Everything would have been good, on one hand. On the other hand, I wouldn't be able to enjoy in pleasures that human beings enjoy. With that, I would be afraid and I wouldn't have self-confidence and so on, which are also typical to human beings. So you can't have one without the other, because in a good place where I'm afraid, in that same place I later enjoy from attaining this confidence. And in the same place where I'm in sorrow, later I can merit pleasure and joy. They're measured one against the other, so you can't have one without the other. So therefore, there are many theories and philosophies that maybe it's not so worthwhile to be developed, let's say, and then you'll live quietly. Yeah, don't be too happy, smart, add a little bit more reason, you're going to add more pain. So we say, don't run, don't be like that, don't be... be good to your children. Do they want to hear? We would like to hear this from our parents as well. And this is something that comes from our development all the time, and though it is supposedly dangerous, but it helps us and pushes us to develop. And what can you do? We run away from home, we want to go to traveling and all kinds of dangerous places to taste life. One is not a beast. A beast knows this is allowed, this is not, this is forbidden, because this can harm me. A person goes for all kinds of things because he has a desire for development more than the force of protecting life. That's why he develops, because it's always this dangerous development, which is the development where we move past the degree of death. So it's like I'm deadening the previous state, and it gives birth to a new degree in me and my development. So this exists only in man, and therefore he acquires wisdom, he achieves things, he goes out of his life much more developed than when he was born. Whereas a day old calf is, you could call it a bull. And this whole process that we're going through is my ego? No. We call it ego. It's true that it's the will to enjoy. Sometimes we call it ego. There is a little bit of impreciseness. Sometimes we call it the ego, and I don't know how exactly to call it, because in all kinds of sources, it's different. The true ego, other than what's called the bad ego, it's not that we want to harm someone. I personally would divide all these forms in man. It's all one's attitude towards the environment. So the attitude of one towards the environment is divided by me wanting to exploit the environment, which is either exploiting the environment or exploiting others. The environment is not just the still vegetative inanimate that I want to exploit for my pleasure. In a simple manner, like animals. That's one thing. Next, I want to exploit the environment by not considering the environment, but I'd rather harm it. That I enjoy by harming it, and from this I actually get self-pleasure. Especially this is towards people. Even lions, they never bother each other. There's no need for this. Well, in them, there's no hatred or negative attitude. They harm the other when they have to eat them, but not just like that. If a lion is satiated, a deer can walk next to it and it wouldn't even pay attention to it. If he has everything in his belly, he doesn't need it. Meaning, we don't need the others, even if they use them. But the fact that I cancel them out, lower them, humiliate them, this I have an inclination for. So, this is the exploitation of others in the second degree. And in the third degree, the third level, which doesn't happen in human society, but in a human, in a society where they want to connect and they're searching for a unity between them, a connection between them, and then we discover how much, if we want to be connected, let's say a group, as we build a group, a special group, a homogeneous group in harmony, so they'll all be equal, nice, and equal. But we discover that there is in them a certain resistance to this, a really mighty resistance, and I call this the special ego. And that ego in resistance for connection that we discover in our inclination for connection, that ego is called the evil inclination, meaning that it's directed, this part of the ego, against the connection that we want to attain. Okay, so I understand that an individual person, when he's alone, it's like he doesn't necessarily have an ego, because his ego is something that awakens in relation to my environment around me. I want to exploit them. So if someone's on a isolated island, there's no ego. I read the definition of ego in depth, but if we're talking about a person who's alone, a person that's alone and he's on some isolated island and he's constantly thinking how to protect himself, how to serve himself, how to supply himself, what he needs for life. So of course he's protecting this whole island. For him, this whole island is his home. So that's different. Here, if we were, this is how we used to behave with nature thousands of years ago. But our ego has changed. It's grown, and today, where are we already? Today we're already so developed that we think of nature, of our home, of our earth. No way. Each is willing to destroy it for some momentary pleasure. That's what I'm trying to understand. I read a certain definition that ego is a Latin or Greek word, and it's the meaning of I that is differentiated from others, that he is in the center of the world. Yes. And you really started this description from all of nature and the degrees of still vegetative in it. But if we talk about ego, usually a person feels himself. He doesn't even feel the nature that's around him as part of... No, he doesn't feel. In general, a person doesn't feel his environment. A good, well-developed person is in an environment, he's in the world, he's in the city. It's like he doesn't feel that others exist. He has a certain sensation that all of these are like puppets, like they came to serve me, and I exist. I go into stores, I see people in the streets, and so on. It's like they are a lesser degree than me. It's like they're a vegetable or something, but truly not me. So could you say that the sensation in which a person walks around and feels that this is my I, that's his ego? Yes. Like in the first degrees that we talked about. Yes. But once again, I'm saying that this definition is quite... each gives it a different expression. The main thing for us is the last expression. What is not the ego? What is the ego, which is called the evil inclination, which is discovered only in those who are in a specific group and want to work on the connection, meaning they're working against their nature, and then they discover how much their nature resists this and doesn't let them unite or connect. The resistance that they're discovering, that's called the evil inclination. That's the peak of the ego. That's in our world. I wanted to also read a quote from John Lennon. He says, a part of me thinks I'm a loser. The other part thinks I'm God himself. Meaning we have in our ego a certain splitting. It's like one hand we think we're zero, and sometimes we think they're yes, from extreme to extreme. These are two points without which we would never develop. Especially a person that develops, that doesn't go after others with his eyes closed, but rather develops on his own, then all his development is by him discovering a certain emptiness in him and then fills it. And then again, emptiness, and then fills it again. Just as we see in scientists, in those that it's mostly people that are creative, that composers and so on, they fall to all kinds of depression and then to great success and joy and then more. You can't have this without that, and then therefore their ego grows greatly. So really we wanted to talk about those two parts in us, actually, the ego and also the some other part that we called the I, maybe it's our true I. But so far we talked about our ego as something useful that serves us, that develops us. Yeah, how do we know that this is something that our ego is developing and everything's okay? You know, sometimes we're from below, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're up, and it goes on and on. Here the question is, why is there a program in nature it takes us to some place, unknown place. And this is what we see. If we weren't to develop, but rather existing in a constant way, in absolute rest, as we call it. But nevertheless, there's life and there's death and there's constant turnover in our life. Then we would hear about it nevertheless. What does it mean that he's alive? What does it mean he passed away, he disappears, and he's died? So this is how we see it in the world of animals. So we see that we have certain lacks, that we have to fill them as to our the essence of our life. How are we here? And how do we exist in all kinds of very strange way? And we see that in no place, other place in the universe, there are such conditions like on the face of Earth. There's no conglomeration of all kinds of environment and conditions that from which human beings will develop. And all in all, as there are such special conditions and special development, we don't see any need in this. On the contrary, all these creatures that developed in order to harm each other. And from here, all kinds of philosophies come and thoughts of everyone. And in general, this is how we can see how we're considering other everyone else. Rather, our ego comes and live, be good, and don't go further than that, because by doing so, you're just harming yourself. Well, we've also come to this program with many people that talked to us and said they don't feel good with the pressures, with all these social anxieties that exist. And we understood that this is the ego that needs the society, and it immediately defends itself. It immediately needs to see how can I harm and what's good for me. So there's just people that see that are more sensitive, especially, but that they're not pleasure, and like with very thick skin. And we want to learn a certain technique that is maybe additional or different than all that exists today in order to rise above this thing, to be freed from all these pressures. Meaning you're saying like this, you're turning to me and you're saying, asking, do you have some solution how to use our ego in a good and nice and comfortable way in order to fill it and to feel pleasure in life? This is a very simple, useful manner. Yes, we can divide it into two in a very simple and useful. What do you mean to divide it into two? You told us in one of the programs that whoever suffers and is hurt and is sensitive to all these negative inputs from the environment is our ego. That if we are feel hurt or in some way, then it's our ego. So we need to identify this ego and to not identify with it. Yes, and not to identify with it. Well, yes, this is a simple psychological principle in which I divide myself to these two. I distance the part where I suffer. I differentiate it from myself, or I distance myself from it. And by doing so, I feel myself more calm. Yes, it's the least of all bad things. Well, first of all, this is not so simple, and I don't think we know how to either identify our ego or... Well, I didn't say that this is the system that I'm a great supporter of. Not at all. But rather, I have a different method. I am for a different method, where a person, because he is a social creature and takes everything from his environment, and his ego only develops in the environment. If I were to develop in a forest, I would be like the animals. But if we are built in such a way that my ego develops by the society, then how can I also fill it to calm it down and to truly attain it? From all sorts of different creations, all sorts of different states, meaning in a state in which it will be able to develop more and more and be satisfied with that, not like we are in our life. By and through this, specifically by the society. Because this is the cause, the society is what causes our development. We see that this is how it happens. How do we want with our babies, with our children, after some time of suckling, we bring them to a society, to an environment, because only in such a way they can develop, just like with animals even. You can't without that. So if so, I need to bring myself to an environment where I can develop in the correct manner. We see that we have two forms of development. One form in which I'm in an egotistical society, and there we are going to exploit each other as much as possible, take advantage of each other, and as much as each is in competition with the other and is stronger, and the other one rises and the other one falls, and until they truly destroy each other. And thus we see that this happens in reality. This isn't a regular egotistical... No one found anything more natural or more beneficial to develop in this society. And this answers all the forms of ego that are revealed in us. And as much as we would discover the ego more and more, these capitalistic forms, these competitive forms would more and more answer the increasing ego in me. But lately, we are entering into a state, and no one knows where it comes from, that we are that my ego is entering me into despair, into chaos, that I can't fill myself because the society I'm in, the general human society, that Earth with its treasures is limited, and that it comes to a state where people are willing to eat each other up, but we don't see an end in that. It's like the bad is increasing more than the profit, and people are starting to be in problems, in despair. They've gone to the health department and they call it, they've inverted the health department to the death department. They made the judgment, the law into a punishment and killing. And meaning everything that we do in society that somehow will arrange between us an acceptable thing for life, problems, things for couples, for old people. This society is not just built from strong people that are willing to kind of like stand before each other and just, you know, attack each other. That's also not a form of life. So we see that our development is actually, our egotistical development actually brings us to a way that, a point that all the systems that we have built, first of all, in order to protect ourselves, we talked about there being two. First of all, self-defense, and then from the defense, I go to the attack and eat the other. So the problem is that our ego, by pushing us to eat each other in a competitive manner, it made us naked towards each other and towards the environment. And it works out that we have come to a state in which we have been included in things that are, you know, that used to be harmful to us. At first, we want to be in competition and successful. We have come actually to a point that now, in this chaos and this crisis, and who knows what in the future. And from this, we have here a very big problem. What are we doing with ourselves? Hence, now a new attitude towards our ego comes, that we also didn't dream of such things. We didn't think that we would come to some dead end, that the ego stopped to develop and started to get some kind of mutational forms, true mutations, that instead of continuing to the American dream for everyone in the world and for all the countries and all the nations and for every single person, instead we see that the opposite is happening. And it's against nature. It's like we've risen, kind of like in the all the measurements of life and all the conditions, and all of a sudden we're in a free fall downwards. We've passed a certain hilltop, some peak, and we've started to descend. And this descent is simply a free fall without any boundary borders, in a pace that is every day kind of drawing us more and more closer to the abyss every day. And with all the weaponry and all the minds that we're using that we've developed so far, the state is very dangerous and we don't know what to do. And here comes actually, instead of the natural development that we have today, usually that we don't know where to go and what to do, because earlier we developed, previously we developed by the ego. Now we're already starting to be afraid to use our ego. Also, there are those that are entering into depression and afraid to even use their ego at all because they realize where it's bringing them. And then it comes out that humanity is in some confusion, in some caution, that they don't know where to move. Don't do anything, maybe it'll be better. Because as much as we exploited and took advantage of all the opportunities, we saw that each thing that we're doing, all in all, in the end, it brings us to the opposite, to some crisis, to some bankruptcy. And therefore, we come to a state in which all the usage of our ego, it's not yet agreed upon by all of us, but in the end it will be, and it's really starting to be, that all the usage of our ego is to our detriment. And then, slowly, slowly, it is revealed from this recognition of evil in our ego, maybe another method of existence is revealed, which is opposite this. That we need to work on the connection between us, to correct our ego, and to start and work with it in an opposite manner. Meaning it's like plus and minus. We're engaged, and nevertheless, in our nature. And if, first of all, we started to find in the society some goals for development, I come to the supermarket, I see, I want everything. I look at the neighbor, oh, what green grass he has, and so on. So now also, we will use the environment, not like before where there was a stimulus for my personal ego, for development, for struggle with everyone. Let's us use the environment in a different manner. There's no choice, either plus or minus, one or two. So let's move to the second side. We'll use the society in order to give the environment different examples, so that the competition will be for the sake of the environment. I mean, not for our self-benefit, because by doing so we see that we're harming everything and destroying everything, but to this, for the sake of the human society. But that's negated to the ego. Wait, not so much. I didn't understand that at all, this whole thing. Meaning, well, let's see, one second, let's see what we're doing. There are people in environment, he's learning from the environment all kinds of things, he sees this, I want this with him and that with him, and each and everything, and even more than that. And he goes and starts to work in order to receive that. He sees, he's bothering me with this, he's bothering me with that, maybe I'll kill them. Well, to kill meaning to use them, to the point of even, destroying them. And it really depends on that. It could be a person, or it could be a whole country. There is no other competition here. And then, we use the environment, first of all, in order to grow our ego, because without the environment, we wouldn't be able to grow. That's one. And two, we exploit the environment in order to realize our ego. And three, we see that in such a manner we come to a state that me and the environment enter into a crisis and into bankruptcy. And to a truly dangerous state. What other possibilities are there? To use me with my ego and the environment in order to come to a secure, safe, organized, balanced life, and so on. It all depends on the opinion of my peers and my surrounding. Because the moment I see this one thing, I don't know what I should bring. Any example? Oh, this is very special, and it costs $1 million. There's no value in it, let's say, in some diamond or something. That's a piece of carbon that's not worth anything, but because it's associated with some special thing. Therefore, it's worth $1 million. There's nothing in it, but this piece is the most valuable thing in the world. The most expensive thing. And I buy this. I buy that it's the most valuable thing in the world. Meaning the environment is capable of bringing to me anything as a higher value. And it can obligate me to believe and to accept and to use my whole life and my health and everything in order to achieve this one valuable thing that has no true value or highness, but only because they said to me that's valuable. So let's say I'm a wise person, a mature person, I see what's going on in nature. I understand the crisis and the dead end and the bankruptcy and the dangerous state that is being revealed from the future. With the, we can see this with the climate, and we can start to feel it really, really powerfully. And the natural blows and diseases and war and destruction and families, meaning everything that's going on. The crisis is definitely general. Our ego has arranged our life and brought us to a crisis. So now the question comes, if I was so dependent on the society and I grew by the society to the current state I'm in, let's make the society or reprogram it so that it will influence each and every one of us different values, opposite values, instead of eating each other up, instead of being in competition, instead of truly implementing my whole life for something that I don't attain anything in the end. Until I die and I'm buried and I didn't attain anything and my whole life I wasn't truly in true rest. Maybe we'll make it into a different life. One who's rich is happy with what he's got. Well, let's do what's good with our kids. Don't run. What for? Sit quietly. Why do you need that? Choose some girl. Build a family so we'll have grandchildren for you children. We'll be with contentment. Work in some place so at least it'll be happy and you'll be healthy. That's it. And rest after work. And don't think at night, how are you going to pay the taxes and how, so they won't come and foreclose on something and isn't that. What for? That's what we want for our children, right? So let's be a little wiser. And let's also want such a thing for ourselves. This is suitable for someone who has a very small ego, no? But there's no choice on one hand. But he has what he has. Wait a minute. You're talking, you're making difficulty to the solution. I'm saying, let's say we're capable. Not about the implementation of the solution. I'm talking about the direction in general. You're saying to me, just want less. I have huge, immense desires. I want to eat the world. Sir, no. I see people going out to the streets that don't have what to eat. Okay, so it's something, they doesn't have what to eat. So not today, tomorrow, it won't be for others. It's all a process. You can't bring me today someone who's stupid and rich and that doesn't know and think about anything. And for me to talk with him, I don't have what to talk to him. I'm talking with people that feel the crisis, that feel the bankruptcy, that feel the dead end. And then they're in the question, what are we doing? Our ego, throughout thousands of years, brought us to a state in which I am now against a wall. And I see that really I'm not capable of developing in that direction like before. It's for sure that this development is a bad development. The American dream is not achievable. One, because Earth is limited with all its treasures. Secondly, because we are truly filling it with all the filth and the garbage to the point where we won't have a place to live anymore. third, people are not even human beings anymore. There's some kind of mutations from all kinds of diseases. Fourth, our children don't even want to get married or work or do anything. Five, we don't have work. We're also in a very big crisis. Truly, what for to work? I mean, 95% of people in work are unemployed. They're just doing a job that's not necessary. They're just, you know, filling roles in order to fill the world with garbage. 5% of the world are enough to provide us with food and accommodations and all the things that we really need. We don't want to develop anything new already, the technologies, because then others also will have to leave the workforce. So what are we doing? Our ego brought us to the wrong development. We wanted to fill ourselves by achievements that have no realism. So for what? So I will have more of what? So because I am filled by something that is valuable in the eyes of others. Just understand that our ego is something artificial. The fact that others, like you said about a diamond, that it's something big, it's something great. If I were to come to some other planet, then I would discover that the whole planet is diamond. Simply, there was such pressure on the carbon there, and that's it. So what? I would bring here, let's say, 100 tons of diamonds and let them take them all. You understand what this would cause to the value in the whole world if I were to bring some asteroid here. Yes, but this is not something here, because today I have a diamond that's cost $1 million. I don't care about that, because then I can buy with $1 million something like that. What are you buying? All kinds of things that I want, which is surrounding the society, told you that it's worthwhile to buy them. Right. Which are good for your enjoyment. That will make you feel good. And not that you enjoy it, but you're actually enjoying from them, because the society told you that from them you need to enjoy. Because if you were alone, then you would need a warm clothing that's nice and comfortable. Nice meaning good and comfortable for the body. And you would want simple food, which nourishes your body and is healthy. And you'd need a simple home, so you'll be comfortable in it. And not that people are sitting in order to earn money, because the society told them that that's how they have to earn. And the things for their kitchen and machines and all kinds of that. Our ego is not natural, it's artificial. Only our inclination is natural, but the form of our ego is not natural. I can enjoy completely other things in a completely different way and to develop in a different manner. Only this is how it is rooted in nature, that I have to develop to the recognition of evil on this branch that I've developed upon, and to come to its end, to define and decide that it's bad, that this form of development is very bad, and it's worthwhile for me to come off of this branch, of this tree, and to go into a different direction. What is that different direction? Wait, let's finish with this first. I wanted to ask, when I get up in the morning, and you said I need to choose not to use my ego. How will I know not to use it? How will I know what I'm doing so it'll be not egotistical? How will you know not to use your ego? Let's say a child gets up in the morning. How does he know how to develop? That's natural. He just does it instinctively. What does he do? He plays with who? With what? With whoever's around him. Oh, you mean so from the surrounding? Same thing here. a child that jumps out of bed and sees games, sees children, his parents that tell him what to play with, who, how to play, what form his ego needs to receive. Meaning we're coming back to the ego being this I. The I remains. My I also remains. But the form we received, that we were, the way we were impressed from the surroundings, was the wrong form. That's the wrong form. In us going in the direction of using and exploiting the environment, the others, meaning I constantly want to push, to pull to my home, to my eye, to my yard, so it's mine, and I'm putting a fence around everything and no one enter. Where are my dogs that will stand there in all the corners? And that's it. This is a human being. And this way, constantly protecting himself in such a way. This thing is nature, is natural. Also in still vegetative and animate, each thinks of his own benefit, but not at the expense of doing bad to others. Not at the expense of competition, just like that. Rather, each wants to eat, so he eats. And the stronger one eats more, and the weak eats less. That's right. But as much as he needs and no more. Meaning there's a boundary, a limit to development. And therefore, we call it the egotistical. It's not even the egotistical development. It's just a desire to fill himself. The way we're using the environment is in order to exploit it and take advantage of it for needs that we don't even need. But rather, the society itself brings me values, supernatural values, and later, I need to use it in order to achieve those values. Meaning, if I have, let's say, a society, and it is in order to earn, to profit, then it's a matter to do a lot of profit. Is this called egotistical way of being? If I want to use my impulse, my drive to development in what the environment is bringing me, in the way like we've developed, this is called egotistical development. And now, as we are doing a criticism upon this and coming to the recognition of evil in this development, from it we can decide that there is and define that there is a different branch, another way, where also there I am using myself and the environment and all the means and all the inclinations in me in order to fill myself, but in such a way that I'm not harming others, and therefore I don't come to a crisis and to dangerous states, but rather I come to my development in the connection, in mutuality, in harmony with others, and also with nature. Because there's another very important component that we are in an ecological crisis. Well, we've come already to the end of the discussion. I would like to take a certain understanding and think about it, that I wake up in the morning, how do I know that I'm directing my day according to this new direction that you were recommending? What compass can you give me with which I can measure everything in my life? The compass is very simple. From what environment I am impressed in order to build my day. I didn't understand. Something that I can think about. Think about that. From which environment am I impressed in order to build my day? Meaning environment, meaning idealistic or environment. What am I taking from? What is operating me? What is moving me? Understood. Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you, too, for being with us. Till next time, all the best, a new life.